Genesis chapter 22. We'll read about 14 verses. We'll catch up on our Bible reading this week. Very familiar story. Most of you have heard this story preached on probably several times. Genesis 22, probably all the Bible's good. But there's a few places that just seem like they're special places because of what they talk about. And one of these is Genesis 22 and verse number 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife. They went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, hallelujah. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to say to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Lord, begin to read there, and God, we sense the typology there of the cross of Calvary. Lord, I thank you for what you've showed us here in your word. I pray that you would help us preach today. God, I pray that you would do the convicting and the convicting of hearts, Lord, today. Lord, our visitors that are here for whatever reason, I ask you to bless them, whatever they're looking for. I ask you, Lord, that they would find it today. Now, Lord, I just thank you now for what you're going to do for us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Yeah, the Bible is full of typology. What I mean by that, typology, is there's things in the Old Testament that point to things in the New Testament, like Abraham being a type of Jesus Christ, the first Adam. Then you compare it with the last Adam, and things of that nature. And we've done that through preaching. We preached on the two trees, the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree, the cross of Calvary, and things of that nature. And you compare things in the Old Testament to things in the New Testament. A wonderful way to study the Bible. But here in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham is a picture and a type of God the Father. God the Father has a son. His son is named Isaac. He's a picture and a type of God the Son. And you'll see as you read through here, number one, let me rush through here and tell you, we are told of a great saint. There's a great saint in this passage of Scripture here, and his name is Abraham. Abraham feared God. He believed God, and God told him to do some things that if God would have told us to do, we would have cringed in our shoes. To take our son, the only son that we have, and take our son and kill him on an altar. Abraham believed God. He feared God. And so he was a great, great saint in the Bible. His name, the father of a multitude. Not only do you see Abraham as a great saint, but I want to point out to you this. Number two, we're told of a great sacrifice. Here, the great sacrifice, the challenge is take your son, your only son. You say, why in the world would he tempt Abraham and test Abraham? Our faith will be tested. If you're a person of faith, a man, a woman of faith, your faith will be tested, and your faith is not anything until it's been tested. Ladies and gentlemen, everything you go through, it has to be tested to see how true it is. And that faith there, we see here a great sacrifice. We see a great saint. His name is Abraham, a great sacrifice. Abraham, I'll tell you this, just in the way of passing by introduction. I hope this don't offend you at all, but Abraham already had a son, and his name was Ishmael. And it was a son, but it wasn't the promised seed. It wasn't the one. You say, what are they fighting over in the land of Egypt or the land of Israel right now? They're fighting over one piece of ground, and it's called Jerusalem. And Ishmael's descendants, they're the ones with all the towels on their head, they are fighting and saying, Abraham is my father, that's our land. Isaac, all the Israelites, they said, no, Abraham's my father, that's the land. Well, let's see what God thinks about it. Abraham has already had a son before Genesis 22. Genesis 22, God says, take thy son, thy only son. You say, which son does God recognize? The one we're reading about this morning. You say, who land does that belong to? It belongs to Isaac. And I promise you this, when we get to the book of the Revelation, they will get that land they're promised. They can fight about it all they want to today, but there's coming a day when there will be peace in the Middle East, and it won't be till the Prince of Peace comes, and he'll bring peace to the Middle East, and they will get in their land, they will walk in their land, and God will be their God, and he will be their people. You'll see a great sacrifice here. A great saint, Abraham, a great sacrifice. I think John 3:16 says something like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Genesis 22, verse 2, take thou thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. I thank God when Jesus Christ was being baptized by John the Baptist, God the Father looks down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Genesis 22, we see a great saint. We see a great sacrifice. But I want to tell you this, not only do we see those great things, but we see a great son. A great son. He is working. You say, where is he working? Notice verse number 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, Isaac toted. Everybody know what toted means? Toted the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. Did you know that God the Son toted his own cross up to Calvary's hill? They're going up to Mount Moriah. He's going up to Mount Calvary. And you do a little study, you'll find it's in the same place. Some people say, well, that's a coincidence. I don't believe that. We're told of a great son. He's working. He's working. He's laboring. He's got a great work to do. Jesus Christ had a great work to do. But number two, not only is he working, he's wondering. You know, he's a looking. He's got the wood on his back. He's got the fire. His dad's got a knife. And he's wondering something that we all wonder. Everybody in the Old Testament asked themselves this question. I see the wood. I see the fire. I see the knife. But where is the Lamb? Everybody in the Old Testament, there's one message in the Old Testament. Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? My friend, John the Baptist told us where the Lamb was in John 1:29. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Yes, he was a great son, a great son, a great sacrifice. Where is that Lamb? I can tell you, Jesus Christ is his name. You say, what faith did Abraham have? I can tell you this. Abraham believed in the resurrection because he said in Hebrews chapter number 11, he believed that God, if God asked him to kill his son, he believed that he would raise him up from the dead. And he told them men, he said, y'all stay here. Me and the lad will go yonder and we'll be back. Now, Abraham, you're going up there to kill your son. Shouldn't just one of you be coming back? He told these men what he believed. Out of his mouth showed what he believed. He said, me and the lad, we'll be back. Because he believed in the resurrection. My friend, Jesus Christ, God the Son, God the Father, put his son on the cross just for you and just for me. And 3 days later, he arose him from the dead, interceding for me and for you. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, a great son. He was working. He was wondering. I can tell you this, he was willing. You say, what was he willing to do? The Bible says they went both of them together. Now, you may be thinking, and you may have always been told, that Isaac was a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy. But I got news for you. If you do your little math there, find out when Sarah, his mama, died, and all of that kind of thing, you do your little math, you'll find that Isaac was a full-grown man. Abraham, an old man, is not going to put a 33-year-old man on an altar unless he was willing. Isaac, 33. You say, why'd you say 33? Well, I'm just a betting that if Jesus Christ was 33 when he died, and Isaac is a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bet if you do the math, it might come out to around 30, 33 years old. And that full-grown boy toted his wood. He got up there, and he said, son, you got to get up here. Hey, he said, I'll be glad to. Laid down willingly. You say, what did Jesus Christ do? He laid down willingly for you and for me. Nobody took his life. Nobody chained him down. He laid his life down willingly. Nobody took his life. He gave it of himself. He laid his life down. I can tell you this, there's a great substitute that we find. A great substitute we find in verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means there's a great substitute. You say, well, the Bible says it was supposed to be a lamb. Why does this say a ram was the substitute? It's because the lamb hadn't got here yet. And the lamb came many years later. And John said, behold the lamb. But in Genesis 22, it was a ram. And can I mention this? He was caught in a thorn bush by his horn. You say, what does that mean? That means Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, before they pierced his hands and his feet, they put a crown of thorns on his head. He was a ram caught in the thicket, and he died for you and for me. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. We're not talking about CNN, ABC, CBS. We're not talking about who's going to be the next president. Who cares who's going to be the next president? I can tell you this, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's the new king in town, and you better know him. You better meet him one day. He's a great substitute for us. Say, preacher, what is all that's introduction? The Bible says, and it's just 20 to 12, y'all hang on. Introduction, but here we go. God told Abraham, go to the mountain, Mount Moriah, offer your son, and come back. Ladies and gentlemen, those of us that are saved in this room, it was a mountaintop experience when you got saved. It ought to be. If it ought to be, you say, when did you get saved? Mama, when was that when I got saved? If you got to ask your mama, you probably didn't get it. If you have to ask your mama, you probably didn't get it. Like the dear old lady said one time, said, hey, are you saved? She said, oh, I was born saved. I said, ma'am, I hate to tell you this, you wasn't born saved. You ain't always been a Christian. There has to be a time and a place where you had that mountaintop experience, where you went to bloody Calvary and laid your sins at the foot of the cross and said, I rest my case at the cross. Right here is where I lay all of my burdens, right here at the cross of Calvary. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. It was a happy day in my life. I don't know about you. It was a happy day in my life.
Right.
Everybody don't do the same when they get saved. Some people cry. Some people get happy. Some people don't do anything. But I'm telling you what, something down on the inside of you ought to have been moving the day you got saved. It ought to have been a mountaintop experience for you. But let me tell you this. After you get saved, you don't always stay on the mountaintop. Those of you that have been saved a good while, sometimes there are valleys that we must go through. I mean, are we talking to anybody this morning?
Amen.
Now, some of you may be half asleep this morning, but I'm just telling you, there's real life situations where we go through a valley after the mountaintop experience, and there are some things you need to remember, you need to write down before you leave this place. There are some things you need to remember before you leave the mountain, what we ought to do. You say, where is all this found? It's found in the white part. I like preaching in the white part. You say, where's the white part? It's in between them lines right there. You got the words on the page, and then you got a white line right there where there's nothing is, and you just sort of see stuff. And since my dad is not here, and he's preaching a revival this morning, Brother Perry, he's not here, and he gets on to me when I get on the white part. He's not here preaching on the white part. You think about this. Abraham got his son toting the wood. Here they come up on the mountain. All of a sudden, he's got his knife up. And the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, hang on. Take your son off. There's a ram over there caught in the thicket. He'll take his place. They light the fire, burn that carcass. They slit that ram's throat, let the blood go everywhere. Abraham and his son take off walking down the mountain. I don't know if this happened or not, but I wouldn't doubt if it didn't. I bet you about a little ways down that mountain, I bet you Isaac said, hey, Dad. He looks back and sees that smoke coming up. He says, Dad, give me a minute. I need to go back for a second. He goes back to that altar. He looks at that ram and that blood all over his face. He said, Ram, I sure do thank you for taking my place today. I sure do thank you. There's no telling where I'd be right now if it wasn't for you. If you wouldn't have showed up when you did, there's no telling where I'd be right now. Ram, I sure do thank you for being my substitute. Before you leave the mountain, you might want to remember where you could have been if it wasn't for the substitute. When you're down in the valley and you're walking down in the valley of the shadow of death, you just remember this. You could have been a whole lot worse off than where you're at now if it wouldn't have been for somebody dying for you, if it wouldn't have been somebody for loving for you. Listen, folks, you could be somewhere on your way to hell. You could be on a bar stool. You could have dope shooting up in your veins. You could have a dirty needle going in your veins, and you could have been an awful mess if it wouldn't have been for the Lord coming by your way. You might want to take time before you leave the mountain today and just say, "Hey, Lamb of God, I sure do thank you for loving me and taking my place. There's no telling where I'd be today if it wasn't for you." Before you leave the mountain, you may want to remember where you could have been. You could have been if it wasn't for the Lord. I've been set free. The Bible says, if the Son therefore make you free, you're free indeed. Isaac walked away free, a free man, going home with the Father because of a substitute. Now, maybe that don't do anything for you, but I can tell you, there's a bunch of us that we'd be dead, we'd be in hell with our back broke, if it wasn't for a sacrifice that loved us and died for us and paid for our sins. I remember preaching in Shelbyville, Tennessee, preaching a revival. And a man came, tattooed head to toe, blue jeans, dirty, holy blue jeans, and a t-shirt, white t-shirt, dingy white t-shirt. You say, that's all he had. Thank the Lord he was there. He came in, he'd sit, preached three or four nights, whatever long the revival went. Every night during revival, he'd grip the back of that seat. Hadn't seen conviction like that in a long time. He'd grip that seat. He wouldn't come. He wouldn't come. I extend the invitation. Would you come? Would you please come? Give your heart and life to Christ. Sit there and tremble. He'd get out and come back the next night. I was surprised to see him. I said, no way. He can take this another night. Or a third night. He'd come back the third night. Finally, I went up to him for service one time. And I said, "Hey, how's everything going?" Cut up a conversation with him. I said, "Hey, have you ever trusted Christ?" This is what he said. He said, "God can't save me." He said, "Preacher, you don't know what all I've done." He said, "You wouldn't dream. I wouldn't dare to tell you what all I've done in my life." Trembled. I said, "I can tell you this. God loves you." And I said, "The Apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners, which makes him worse than you." And God saved him. And I preached that night. Invitation. Finally, about 42 verses of "Just As I Am" without one plea. He came down, stepped out, came down. The preacher met him down there, gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. The preacher asked him, called his name, forgot what it was. He called his name, said, "Hey, you got anything you want to say?" He said, "Church, I just want to tell you this. There's still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood to lose all your guilty stains." It still works. It still works. There's room at the cross for you. And the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You know what that means? That means the bigger sinner you are, more grace comes to your rescue. And you'll never run out of grace, because grace will never be indebted. Grace will never run out of money. Grace will always be able to cover your sin. Said, "I'm too big of a sinner." Well, so was Paul. But God saved him. He said, "I'll get saved when I get better." Well, I tell you what, if you break your leg half in two, wait till it gets well before you go to the hospital. No, friend, when you get sick, you go to the hospital. When you break a bone, you go to the hospital. When you're sin sick and you need a Savior, you come to the place. You said, "Preacher, I ain't coming." I saw a person, I won't tell you, I saw somebody, and I said, "Won't you come down there a bit?" "I ain't coming down there with all them hypocrites." I said, "Ma'am, one more won't hurt nothing at all." Hallelujah. I hadn't seen her yet, but anyway, hallelujah. Say, preacher, there's too much to give up. There's too much to give up. If I turn my heart and life over to Jesus Christ and get saved, there's too much to give up. I can tell you this. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I can tell you this. Before you leave the mountain, you ought to remember. Remember where you could have been if it wouldn't have been for that ram. That sacrifice. Number two, Isaac probably knelt down right there and he felt somebody coming up in behind him. He turned around. And you know what? The whole time when he told his daddy, said, "Hang on, I'm going back over. I need to go back over there a minute." The whole time, he didn't realize it, but the whole time, the father had been with him the whole time. Listen, when you're headed down in the valley, I'm telling you, the Father is there. You may not be able to see Him. You may not be able to touch Him or talk to Him. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." I remember a father and a son lost. The father lost, obviously, his wife, and the little son lost his mama. Went to the funeral service. The little boy didn't understand. 10-year-old boy didn't understand why his mama was in that box. They went home together, father and son. Went home together. Went to their separate bedrooms. In the middle of the night, the little boy got scared. He went into his daddy's room. He said, "Daddy, since mama ain't coming home tonight, it'd be all right if I sleep in here with you." Daddy said, "Yes, son, come on." Pitch dark in that room. And the son would reach over and feel his daddy's face and say, "Daddy, are you looking my way? Are you looking my direction?" He said, "Yes, son, I'm facing you." He said, "Well, it sure is dark in here. But as long as you're looking my way, everything will be all right till morning." Let me say that over here on this side. Daddy said, "Everything will be all right till morning." Before you leave the mountain, you better remember the Father's there. And if He's looking your way and He's looking your direction, I can tell you right now, the Father knows where Dyersburg, Tennessee is. He knows exactly where Holy Hills Baptist Church is. He knows what pew you're sitting on right now. And when you leave that mountaintop experience and you're going through a valley, I can tell you this, the Father, He's looking your way. And when the Father's looking your way, everything will be all right till in the morning. Amen. You need to remember. Remember that. They say that an eagle, it's one of those animals, a hawk and a falcon, cannot stand. They see an eagle flying by itself. A hawk or a falcon will go to where that eagle is and start pecking at him and trying to run him out of the air. But what they don't realize is an eagle has built-in sunglasses. He's got a layer, one layer, that'll drop down. Like those helmets, you see those fighters in those airplanes, they got that helmet there to where they can look into the sun. And that eagle, when he's being attacked by the enemy, those falcons and those hawks are attacking him, he'll drop that one layer of sunglasses. He'll look toward the sun and fly as far toward the sun as he can until he loses the enemy. You say, "Preacher, I'm being attacked from every side." I can tell you this, look toward the sun. Look toward the sun. He'll deliver you this morning. Remember, the Father is always with you. And number three, and I'm done. You need to remember this. When you leave the mountaintop, you're going home with the Father. Say, "Dad, where are we going?" That dad said, "We're going to see the rest of the family at that. We're going to see the rest of the family now. What are we going to do when we get there? Mama's got a meal prepared on the table. There's a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people to come and dine. There's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb waiting for us when we get there. We're going home with the Father. We may be going through a valley down here, but I'm telling you this, remember this while you're going through the valley, that on the mountaintop, when you leave, we're going home. I'm headed home with the Father. When I get there, there's going to be other family that's there waiting on us to get back. There's going to be some table spread. Hallelujah. No calories, no fat grams, no sugar levels, no diabetes, but plenty of sweet tea and fried chicken. Somebody say amen. If I don't get you motivated this morning, nothing else will. We're going to a table that's spread. Going home with the Father. You're going through a rough place this morning. I can tell you the rest of the family is waiting on you to get there. They're expecting us to be there. They're waiting on us to get there. I can tell you the Bible says that the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. We're going home with the Father. We're floating down the stream of time. We have not long to stay. The storm clouds of darkness will turn to brightest day. Then let us all take courage, for we're not left alone. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather His jewels home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather His jewels home. Sometimes the devil tempts me and says it's all in vain to try and live a Christian life and walk in Jesus' name. But then I hear the Master say, I'll lead you a helping hand. And if you'll only trust me, I'll guide you to that land. The lifeboat soon is coming. By the eye of faith I see, as she sweeps through the waters to rescue you and me, and land us safely in the port with friends we love so dear. Get ready, cries the captain, oh look, she's almost here. Now the time to get on board while she is passing by. And if you stand and wait too long, you shall forever die. The fare's been paid for one and all. The captain bids you come and get on board the lifeboat. She'll carry you safely home. Then cheer, my brother, cheer. Our trials will soon be o'er. Our loved ones we shall meet upon that golden shore. We're pilgrims and we're strangers here. We're seeking a city to come. The lifeboat soon is coming to gather his jewels home. I'm telling you now, going through a valley before you leave the mountain, he might want to remember where you could have been if it wasn't for the sacrifice. When you leave the mountain, just know this, the Father's right there with you. And just remember this, when you leave the mountain, we're going home with the Father. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you this morning that the lifeboat is headed our way. Lord, I thank you that I made preparations to get on that thing. Lord, the captain bids, come on in. Lord, I pray that you'd help the invitation right now. Folks are already starting to come and pray. Lord, I hope you can help. Hope you can lead, guide, and direct the service thus far. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Won't you stand to your feet, all the building. Mark begins to play. Won't you step out and come? Get on that lifeboat. We're going to have some storms we're going to go through. Better get to knowing him. Lifeboat's coming. Others are coming. You come. You need to come. Blessed Redeemer. How about you today? Is everything all right? Is everything all right between you and the Lord? If you'll step out and come, he'll save you. He'll save you right back there in the seat where you're at. You call on him. Say, Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Blake, let's sing a verse.